Everybody, please allow myself to introduce myself. Welcome to the 11th episode of Gotham Goes Hollywood. This week is the conclusion to Turtles Month as I review the sequel to the 2014 Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles movie. There was a bonus episode about the Turtles' other live-action exploits, so be sure to listen to that. There's really no interesting backstage stuff about the process to get this movie made. 2014's Turtle reboot made a ton of money, even though it was panned critically, and the studio signed on to do a sequel. And, well, that's not actually true. Nickelodeon greenlit the sequel 2 days after the 2014 movie premiered. Megan Fox surprisingly returns as April O'Neil. And I say surprisingly because she previously was fired from the Transformers 3 movie because she said Michael Bay was like Hitler on the set. Steven Spielberg, who was a producer in those movies, then being a Jewish man himself, did not take kindly to these remarks, so Megan Fox was not hired on for that sequel. And, well, with that out of the way, let's dance the dance. They dance in France. Let's get to it. Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles Out of the Shadows, release date June 3rd, 2016. We start off with the turtles jumping from building to building as they play around the city in the night. And I like this as we get the turtles right away, none of that let's keep them hidden. Also, it gives me faith that the turtles are going to be the main protagonist in their own movie this time. The turtles grab a pizza from a Domino's pizza delivery guy. And this is where we get a cool cameo as the pizza guy is none other than Kevin Eastman, creator of the Ninja Turtles, or co-creator. The turtles arrive at Madison Square Garden, where they are seeing a Knicks versus Clippers game. The turtles are inside the big screens in the middle of the arena, and Mikey wishes he could be down there with the crowd. The Jumbotron then starts playing exposition about what happened in the first movie for some reason.
Ladies and gentlemen, 1 year ago, a shadow fell over our city. Suddenly, it was under siege by the notorious villain Shredder. Along with his army of enforcers, the Foot Clan, Shredder ruled our streets. Until one day, from out of the shadows, stepped a beacon of hope.
Hey, you see who that is?
He was just a humble cameraman. But when danger struck the heart of our city, he single-handedly battled Shredder, locking him up behind bars. And now, turn your attention courtside, where Jill Martin meets a man who later this week will receive an honorary key to the city. Please welcome Fur the Hunger Handler!
Alright, so it turns out since the Turtles can't take credit for saving the city without being exposed, they made an arrangement with Vern so he gets to be the hero. Mikey grabs an electronic pea shooter from Donnie because he still has a bunch of crap just like glued to his shell. And the turtles take turns spitting wads of paper at Vern. Megan Fox calls Donnie and she tells him she's on a stakeout investigating Baxter Stockman. So yes, Baxter Stockman, the evil scientist, creator of the Mousers, who later gets mutated into a fly, is in this movie. Megan Fox is dressed in a bat suit and wearing a bat wig. She suspects that Bex, I'm not even making fun of her. She's literally just like dressed in a bad wig with like this bad suit because she's supposed to be a frumpy businesswoman instead of like her usual hot self. She suspects Baxter of working for Shredder. She has a watch that Donnie made for her, and she's going to download some files from Baxter's computer to her watch, and Donnie tells her she has to be real close to get that. So yeah, in this movie, for some reason, Donatello is just basically Tony Stark. Like, he can create great technology, and it's never explained how, and you know what? Honestly, it doesn't matter. Donnie does machines. That's all we need to know. We see Baxter Stockman, and he is played by Tyler Perry. And honestly, he's great in this role. I really like him here. Even though I can't see how people will find him annoying, he has a really annoying laugh. And he's basically playing Baxter Stockman like if he was an older Steve Urkel. But I like his character here. Megan Fox walks over to him and starts flirting. He says girls like her have nothing to do with guys like him. But she convinces him with this cringe-worthy line.
Aren't you
As much as I like to be someone that a girl like you would recognize, I can assure you, you don't know who I am.
You're Baxter Stockman, PhD, graduated from MIT at 15 years old. Your innovations in nanorobotics at TCRI have been truly inspirational for me. I'm so sorry. I'm just like, I'm a nerd.
No, please, geek out, please.
Really?
Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Actually, though, there's a big difference. I'm a nerd, not a geek. It's the difference between, like, Lord of the Rings and Harry Potter, or TED Talks and
Comic-Con. Yeah.
Wow.
Oh, my gosh. She's such a nerd. Megan Fox. Yeah, that big old nerd. She starts downloading the files, but then a courier shows up, and he takes the computers from him to deliver to somebody else. When the guy leaves with the computer, her download is interrupted, so she makes up an excuse about her boyfriend calling her, and she leaves following after the courier. She then steals a skirt, manages to take off her pants in public while walking somehow, and transforms into like this super hot Britney Spears wannabe, like with the schoolgirl skirt and the tied up top in the showing her midriff and all. She pushes the courier into a picture with a bunch of other slutty girls that are there for some reason. I guess they're supposed to be tourists. And they're just taking pictures with all these people. But for some reason, they're all dressed like strippers. And she's like, oh my god, look, I found the cowboy. And she pushes the dude in there and they all take pictures. And this gives her enough time to download the files into her watch. We go back to the turtle still watching the game. When a slice of pizza falls to the court below. And DeAndre Jordan, the center for the Los Angeles Clippers, slips on it. And we get this horrible, horrible, horrible line.
Jump on. Don't call, no way, Courtney, it's pizza on my Nike. It's pizza. Look at it. Look at my shoe. Explain that to me. It's pizza on my Nike.
Hey, man. Welcome to New York.
Well, you know what? First of all, screw you, ref, and screw New York. You're not special. You're just a bunch of rude idiots who aren't smart enough to understand quit wit and sarcasm. Second, who the hell keeps saying, oh, I got pizza on my Nike. It's on my Nike. Dude, it's your damn shoe. Just call it a shoe. And I like the Clippers, by the way. Yeah, I'm a Clipper fan since 1999. Go me. Hopefully I would have remembered and inserted sad violin music in that little pause there. The turtles go back to the lair in the sewers, but there's a Day of the Dead parade happening in the middle of the city in New York at nighttime for no reason at all. It's supposed to be a Halloween parade? I've never heard of a Halloween parade. And second, they're all dressed like if it's Day of the Dead. They're all wearing like the skull face paints and all that. Mikey goes up to the street and he starts partying. He grabs a mic and I swear we were going to get a musical number. If you've ever seen the Alvin and the Chipmunks, the Road Chip, and yes, I have, in theaters, when it came out, instead of Star Wars, there's a part where they're in New Orleans and they sing that Uptown Funk, gonna give it to ya. I swear Michelangelo's going to start doing this. Although, man, I would have loved to see Alvin and the Chipmunks crossover with Ninja Turtles. But we get another crossover here because Mikey gets to meet Bumblebee from the Transformer movies. Don't believe me? Here it is.
Looking good, bro.
Whoa. Thanks, man.
Mikey.
Yup, that was Rio. You heard the Transformer sounds. I did not edit any of that. Mikey gets taken back down to the sewers by the others because they can never fit in this world of people. Megan Fox calls Donnie and she found out that Baxter is working for Shredder. Shredder is being transported to a new prison and the Foot have a plan to hit the convoy. Yes, I get to do this again.
New Mexico, an I-40 like a Texas lizard on glass. 1,000 pedals was mashing the metal and bears was walking the grass. We trucked all day and we trucked all night. Big Benny approving our style. We could tell by the smell we was heading for hell and the devil was dirty lie.
Also, Shredder didn't die from falling off a skyscraper in the last movie. Although, I guess he did move his hand, so he kind of knew, but still. We go to Shredder and Chains being put into the transportation truck. Inside the truck, we see two guys. Hey, it's Seamus! What a shameful day. Lobster head. Too many limes. Too many limes. I had to do it. And the dad of the Wheezing Kid from Malcolm in the Middle, if you remember him. Shredder is put inside and chained down, and Shredder is just like this normal Asian dude with hair and a goatee. He's not like the burnt to a crisp Asian guy from the first movie. So I guess he was just in prison and grew his hair long and grew a goatee out. We meet Casey Jones, and he's played by Stephen Amell from the Arrow TV show on the WB. And holy hell, this guy is awful! Okay, I've never watched an episode of Arrow. He might be fine in that. I don't know. I don't really like watching the WB superhero shows like Flash or Legion of Tomorrow or Legion of Heroes or whatever it's called. It's Supergirl, Arrow. I haven't seen him. He might be fine there. The only other experience I have with this guy is when he wrestled Stardust once at SummerSlam, and he was not good at that either. But, oh my god, he is awful. He is just like a male Megan Fox. He's such a disgrace to the Casey Jones character that I'm not even going to call him Casey. I'm calling him Arrow from now on in the review. So when I refer to Arrow, I'm referring to... Or when I say Arrow, I'm referring to Casey Jones. Casey here is a police officer with short hair. Come on! Casey needs, like, long flowing locks. Or if you're going to go bald with him, at least make him, like, all the way bald and look like a badass or something. Like, just like some pretty boy with a shaved head. Back in the lair, Splinter, who no longer looks like a slimy catfish, but is actually furry and wearing a purple kimono to look more like the Splinter from the classic film, is meditating. He has meditated for almost 24 hours and will reach Nirvana in 10 seconds. Oh man, I hope the turtles don't crash his party. They do. He's angry, but once they tell him that Shredder's convoy will be attacked, he tells them to go to get him. Donnie reveals their new ride, and it's this awesome garbage truck that looks like the old cartoon turtle van. Oh dude, it's so cool. Because I mentioned the turtle van in the last movie, the 2014 movie, and it looks like crap. It's this tiny little van. The turtles are like 7 feet tall, so they look ridiculous in it. But this is a garbage truck, and it looks so cool. It looks just like the toy. So the turtles leave via hidden wall, like the old Adam West Batman show. Baxter arrives at the Foot headquarters, and Karai is there. Arrow is taunting Shredder and says that he should take up a hobby like him. He's a hockey guy. Get it? Because Casey wears a hockey mask. Alright, in the cartoon it was ridiculous that he never took the mask off, even when undercover. Like, you would see Casey Jones in a business suit still wearing the mask. It was kind of dumb. In the first film, he only wears the mask for two scenes, but he was like such a cool guy and perfect personification of Casey that he didn't need it. Here, well, you'll see how much he wears that mask. The dudes inside the truck introduce themselves.
Hey, Mr. Shredder. Big fan of your work, especially your early stuff.
My name is Bebop. This is Rocksteady. I know it's a crazy name, right? But his ancestors are from Finland.
Yeah, that's right. I'm Finnish. That's when I start a beat down. I always finish it!
What?
Yeah, I said it!
Did you hear that?
I said it!
My man!
My man!
Give me that foot!
Yeah!
Well, I, for one, am glad they allowed themselves to introduce themselves. Oh, I love it. These two are complete idiots, but they have a lot of chemistry, and they are just having a blast in these roles that you can't help but just get caught up with them. The Foot Clan surround the convoy. Convoy. I'm going to do that every time. And they start cutting the door to release Shredder as other ninjas attack the car surrounding them. And yeah, the Foot Clan are actual ninjas here. They're not like Call of Duty Black Ops or anything. Arrow grabs a shotgun, but for some reason it's not loaded. And even he points out how stupid it is to be transporting the world's most dangerous criminal and not have the gun loaded. This scene is super cool though, with motorcycle ninjas climbing around in the truck trying to break out Shredder. The turtles show up in their kick-ass truck and they shoot manhole covers at the ninjas! Manhole covers! Like the old toy! Dude, I'm marking out, bro. Mikey pulls some levers and the truck has giant robot arms with nunchucks come out of it. Mikey celebrates and the arms are destroyed when they drive under a bridge. Pretty funny moment. Raph opens the door and jumps out and double clotheslines two motorcycle ninjas. Raph takes the bike from the third one and rides back to the truck. There's a tiny moment here, like Mikey being in awe at all the cool stuff Raph does, and him giggling because he's like so proud that that's his brother. And it's actually pretty cool. He does this a lot. Like Raph will do something really cool, and then Mikey will just kind of go, haha, like he's really impressed. And it's subtle stuff like that that I think adds character. And I find it weird because subtlety isn't something you'll find much of in this movie. Baxter keeps commanding the Foot to reach the extraction point. The Foot cut the roof off the truck, and then a helicopter with a huge magnet shows up. The roof is ripped right off, and Shredder is freed. Arrow goes after Shredder, but gets his butt kicked by Bebop and Rocksteady, who then take control of the truck. Baxter, who is watching all this through monitors, by the way, says that if Shredder can't make it to the extraction point, then the extraction point will be brought to Shredder. Shredder jumps at the helicopter and the turtles shoot a net at him, but in midair, Shredder disappears in a flash of light. Everyone is baffled and Bebop and Rocksteady get away with the truck. Baxter doesn't know where Shredder went, and then we get like this really weird scene. We are introduced to Krang, and oh man, he looks amazing. I say the scene is weird because he just comes out of nowhere, and the scene doesn't really seem to fit in with anything else in the movie. It's just Krang talking to Shredder in an empty room.
Where am I? Does it matter? I know what you're thinking right now. Of all the ways you'd like to kill me, but that would require you outthinking me. And no one, no thing, is smarter than the Krang. Oh, I'm sorry. Did I get a little tentacle mucus in your eyes, Shredder?
So you know my name. Why am I here?
Because you and your buddy, Dr. Stockman, found something of mine. The teleportation device.
The teleport was supposed to break me out of prison.
Oh, but it's capable of so much more. That device is part of a machine called the Arc Capacitor. Years ago, I launched the Arc Capacitor to Earth's dimension. But upon entering your atmosphere, it broke apart into three pieces. You and Stockman have one piece. Another is in a museum in New York. The third is in the Brazilian rainforest. Collect the other two pieces. Dr. Stockman should be inventive enough to reassemble the Arc Capacitor.
And then what?
It will open a portal through which I can bring my war machine, the Technodrome, to Earth. Together, we can bring the people of your planet to their knees.
Krang is voiced by Brad Garrett, who many of you might know as the older brother from Everybody Loves Raymond. He does a great job. I don't think that he's bad at all. And fun fact, Brad Garrett was the voice of Hulk Hogan in the Hulk Hogan's Rock and Wrestling cartoon. Now, Krang was going to be voiced by Fred Armisen of Saturday Night Live fame, but he had to back out due to scheduling conflicts. Brad Garrett was chosen at the request of Pat Fraley, who was the original voice actor of Krang from the 80s cartoon, because they're good friends. So now we got our movie's MacGuffin in that three teleporter parts that Krang mentions. Krang hands over a canister of mutagen to Shredder to take care of the turtles. So if the ooze is alien, then how did Eric Sachs get a hold of it in the first movie? Who cares? Eric Sachs is in jail or something, and no one ever mentions him. Donatello figures out Shredder was teleported. Because I'm telling you, he's just Tony Stark now. Megan Fox wants to break into Baxter's lab and steal his computer files again because she bets that there's more to this. Donnie gives her some sort of like super USB stick that downloads, and she's off. The Turtles want to come with her, but she tells them that they can't because it's daylight. What the hell? They're not vampires. They're sure they can sneak around somehow, and don't they just have to wear trench coats and a hat that makes them disappear in the eyes of people somehow? The cops are asking Arrow about Shredder's escape, and they think he's crazy because of the ninjas and garbage truck. FBI takes over the investigation because we need an Oscar winner in an action movie nowadays. She's played by Laura Linney, who is actually an Oscar nominee, not winner, but still. She's fine in the role, but I don't think it had to be like some amazing actress for this. It's not like it's like a role that really demands it. She suspends Arrow from his job and says some stupid thing about trying to be a detective. I mean, he delivers the line like if he's like a little kid or something. Like, I'm gonna do it, you'll see.
Look, I can help you catch these guys. I'm from New York. I know these streets better than anyone.
First rule of tracking fugitives: don't take help from someone who's responsible for losing them in the first place.
We were ambushed!
Thanks for your statement, Jones.
That's Officer Jones. And I'm gonna be a detective someday.
Okay, so Arrow is being blamed for losing Shredder, but he has a damn good point. He was ambushed and there was no backup from the rest of the police whatsoever. He's the most dangerous criminal. We're going to send one truck with like three other cars that got blown up by the ninjas. Arrow leaves in his cool car because he's Fast and the Furious now. And Arrow looks at the criminal files of Bebop and Rocksteady and finds out they have a favorite bar, so he goes to find them. We are at said bar, and Bebop and Rocksteady are drinking and thinking about expanding their criminal empire.
Hey, do not make eye contact with us. You think we something to play with?
You know, babes, I'm tired of being someone else's errand boy. We're trying out of the picture. Maybe we could step up. Carve out our own piece of the city.
Yeah. Maybe even start our own foot clan. Eventually work our way up to our own leg clan. I mean, honestly, how hard could it be?
I love how as humans, they're still dressed exactly like the cartoon. I mean, they look like total morons, but it's still cool somehow. Like, Bebop still has the purple mohawk with those weird purple square sunglasses. And Rocksteady has, like, the vest with the soldier pants with no shirt. Like, they look like morons, but it's so cool. Shredder shows up, and he scares Bebop and Rocksteady, and he hires them as his errand boys. The Turtles are in their lair, frustrated that they can't go out in the daylight. Mikey has a flying skateboard now, because it was a rocket-powered skateboard in the first one. Now it just flies. Now it just straight-up flies. And Donnie has even more crap attached to his shell, as I mentioned, including a Super Famicom controller, a power glove, and a flying drone. Arrow is at the bar where Bebop and Rocksteady were, but the bartender doesn't give him any info. Arrow walks over to the jukebox, which is playing Ice Ice Baby. That's a pretty cool Easter egg. And he kind of mildly starts breaking things. Like, he breaks the jukebox, and then he throws a CD, and he breaks a glass, and the bartender's like, no, stop it! And he just easily gives up the info on where Bebop and Rocksteady are at by giving Arrow some GPS or something, like some tracking device for some phones he sold him. Also, the bartender is played by that guy from those insurance commercials. You know, the one that's like, I'm bad luck, and this could happen at any time. And it's distracting for me. It would be like if the scene was set in a diner and Flo from Progressive commercials was the waitress. Baxter is back in his lab at TCRI trying to track Shredder, but Shredder just appears and scares the crap out of him. Megan Fox shows up at the lab as well, and she just takes the elevator up. Like, there's no security, so that was pretty easy. Shredder explains the teleporter message from Krang to Baxter. Shredder hands the mutagen to Baxter and says that he needs strong soldiers to beat the Turtles. Baxter puts the ooze in some machine and it makes it into some sort of like liquid injection now instead of ooze. Shredder shoots Bebop and Rocksteady with the ooze, and they begin to transform. We get a cool sequence of the human Bebop and Rocksteady turning into their famous Warthog and Rhino form. Megan Fox shows up and she sees all of this. Arrow then shows up to the TCRI tower. Baxter then explains how the ooze works.
Miraculous. Inside every human, there's a dormant gene which ties us to our animal ancestors. It's as if that purple ooze has returned them to their rightful place in the animal kingdom.
You're a rhinoceros!
And you're a... I don't know what you are.
All right, let me look. I'm a little piggy.
Okay, actually, that's pretty stupid. Shredder wants Baxter to create more mutants. Bebop and Rocksteady look at their junk, and they are happy with its new size. I'm not kidding. They pull their pants and look at themselves down there and go like, oh, yeah. While they celebrate their newfound penis size, Megan Fox runs into the lab and steals the ooze while setting off an alarm that causes the doors to lock and everyone inside is trapped as she narrowly escapes a closing door. She runs outside and is being chased by ninjas through the streets of New York, but no one helps her. Arrow sees this and he grabs his gear. Megan Fox is trapped by the foot in an alley, but she gets rescued by Arrow. Arrow is wearing the hockey mask and he beats up the foot with the hockey stick and hockey pucks. The cops show up and they take the canister of ooze that was dropped by the foot soldiers and Megan Fox. Megan Fox runs away but is cornered again. Arrow saves her again and introduces himself.
Thank you. What's your name?
Casey Jones.
What's that?
Casey Jones.
Stacy Moans.
Casey Jones.
So there it is. He never wears the mask again, and it's because we couldn't hear him clearly. Oh, man, take that, Bane, from The Dark Knight Rises. Yeah, that's the reason why. Because people complained that you couldn't hear Bane's voice in that mask, so they decided to not give Casey a mask, because then you wouldn't... Oh, but then you wouldn't be able to see Arrow's face, because he's so handsome, that guy. Male and female Megan Fox fall in love and are about to kiss, probably, when the turtles arrive. Arrow thinks that the turtles are aliens because, get it? They were going to be aliens in the first movie if Michael Bay had his way? That's hilarious. It isn't. Mikey allows himself to introduce himself and his brothers to Casey. They take Arrow with them to the lair. Donnie uses some fake mumbo jumbo about that now that Bebop and Rocksteady are mutants, he can track them using their mutant blood somehow. Arrow sees Splinter and the turtles play a trick on him to get attacked. Oh, Splinter, you made another funny. Except this time it wasn't. Arrow finds the turtles' truck and realizes the turtles were the ones who tried to stop Shredder's escape. With some of the ooze that Megan Fox stole, Donnie figures out they can become human. Like, he pours a drop and his hand turns like normal into five fingers. Shredder sends Karai to get the rest of the ooze from the police department, and he himself will head to the museum with Bebop and Rocksteady to get the second part of that teleporter. Donnie tells Leo about the ooze turning them human, and he proves it again by pouring a drop in his hand and turning his hand into five fingers. Leo tells Donnie that they don't need that, and not to tell the others. Mikey overhears this, though. And, okay, we cut to the next scene, I'm sorry. At the museum, Bebop and Rocksteady smash some rock, which causes it to open up, and Shredder takes the teleporter. Mikey tells Raph about the mutagen, and about Leo not wanting to tell them. Raph then gets in Leo's face about it, and they fight for, like, the 100th time in these movies.
If there's even a chance that ooze can make us human.
Or turtles. Whether you like it or not.
It's not about what I like. It's about what people up there are willing to accept.
True acceptance only comes from within.
Don't give me that fortune cookie muck. You should consult with us before you decide to do something like that.
I consulted Donnie, and we decided that
there's
nothing...
And what about Mikey? He don't get a vote?
There's only one vote that counts in this family. Mine.
Damn right, Leo. You put Raph in his place. Donnie hears about the break-in at the museum, and Leo and Donnie leave... As Leo tells Raph and Mikey they need to stay behind. Donnie and Leo go to the museum and Donnie uses his Iron Man holograms to figure out the teleporter and how it works. Back at the lair, Raph is tricking Megan Fox and Errol to break into police headquarters to steal the rest of the ooze. We go to a party where we get a pointless cameo from Carmelo Anthony from the New York Knicks. He is meeting Vern, and after all this horribleness, Megan Fox shows up and tells Vern they need to go somewhere so they could speak, so they do. Megan Fox tells Vern the plan to sneak into the police headquarters. So the plan is that Vern shows up at police HQ, and since he's a celebrity now, he distracts the cops at the front so that Megan Fox and Errol can sneak in using some technology that Mikey stole from Donatello. Mikey and Raph steal a key card for Megan Fox. Errol almost gets spotted by FBI agent lady. And there's a deleted scene where... So FBI lady's walking down the steps. She almost bumps into Errol. And in order for him to not get caught, he tells Megan Fox, "Kiss me." And she doesn't want to do it. But then the lady just walks by. And Megan Fox is like, "You wanted me to kiss you as a way to not be suspicious in a police station?" And he's like, "All right, bad idea." So that was just a dig at Captain America Civil War, where Captain America and Black Widow are at the mall hiding from the S.H.I.E.L.D. agents. And they're going up some escalators. They see the agents. So then to hide from them, they just start making out. That's all it is. So already we got two scenes, or we got this scene making fun of Captain America. And then we got the mask reason for Bane. So they're kind of taking jabs at other movies here. Megan Fox opens the door with the key card, only to find that there are foot soldiers inside already, taking the ooze. She rings the fire alarm. Mikey calls Donnie to tell him about the foot having the ooze. The foot beat up cops as they try to escape, which honestly is like a pretty cool scene. Raph and Mikey decide to go stop them. They do, but the cops pull their guns out at the turtles because they think they're monsters. Donnie and Leo show up, and wait, weren't the turtles bulletproof in the last movie? I swear they were getting shot at with machine guns, and nothing was happening to them. So FBI lady and all the cops are horrified by the turtles as Mikey cries, saying he's not a monster. Errol and Megan Fox get in front of the cop's gun to help the turtles escape, and they get themselves arrested in the process. The turtles get back to the lair and argue. Splinter gives them words of wisdom, and they get placated. Donnie tracks Bebop and Rocksteady on a plane flying to Brazil. The turtles plan to sneak into a cargo plane to go to Brazil as well. We get a stupid scene where FBI lady is interrogating Megan Fox and Errol, but she doesn't believe their story. "You just saw four giant turtles, lady! Why wouldn't you believe that Bebop and Rocksteady are like monsters now?" Megan Fox mentions that Baxter Stockman is behind the ooze, and FBI lady says that TCRI gave them security footage, and it shows April breaking in and stealing the ooze without showing the fire damage or Bebop and Rocksteady, because sure, that's how computers work. Megan Fox and FBI lady argue about a phone call, which I'm not sure is even a real thing. Megan Fox is like, "Well, legally, you have to give me a phone call." Is that a thing, or is that just a movie thing? Honestly, I'm not sure. Megan Fox mentions that Baxter Stockman... Oh, sorry, I said that already. We cut to the jungle, where Bebop and Rocksteady are driving a TCRI-branded tank, because I'm sure a science institute owns a tank. And a private plane, apparently. Not even a private plane. A private cargo plane, apparently. And, wait, shouldn't, like, the company be bankrupt now that Eric Sachs was arrested for, like, trying to kill the city? But, alright. They find the third teleporter part, and Baxter has finished building the portal and is excited to be more famous than any scientist in history. The turtles are aboard a plane that's... they're already in Brazil. The plane is flying overhead over Brazil. When Donnie tracks the plane that Bebop and Rocksteady are in, and it's going the other way, so they're going to intersect once flying like 30,000 feet above the other or something like that. They plan to jump from their plane into this TCRI plane. Donnie jumps with no parachute, then so does Leo, and then Mikey jumps with his flying skateboard. Raph is scared and stays on the plane. Donnie shoots some magnet with a rope to hang on to the other plane. Leo grabs onto Mikey and they land on the plane. Raph then asks himself, "What would Vin Diesel do?" And after realizing that he needs to live his life a quarter mile at a time, he jumps as well. Raph misses the mark and smacks into the plane's windshield. The turtles get inside the plane and they beat up the foot soldiers and kick them out of the plane. But don't worry, they have parachutes. They're sure to show us that. The turtles find the teleporter, but they also find something else. Bebop and Rocksteady. I waited 21 years for this. And finally, I get to see Bebop and Rocksteady and the turtles go at it.
It's the interdimensional portal opening thingy-mabob.
Well, there's probably a more technical name for it, but...
Guys?
Oh.
Oh, boy.
Dude, bringing back the Mohawk. Good for you.
Oh, y'all got jokes, huh? But let's see how funny you are after we bash your heads in.
Bebop and Rocksteady attack, and they beat up the turtles inside of the plane. And this is great because everyone is, like, using wrestling moves. There's clotheslines and overhead tosses, and it's pretty cool. Raph picks up Rocksteady and throws him into the back of the plane where the tank is. Rocksteady then gets in the tank and shoots the machine gun, completely destroys the front half of the plane, including most of the cockpit.
Dude, seriously?
Yeah, that's my bad. I got a little carried away.
The pilots eject and the plane starts crashing down. Donnie gets to the front and tries to land the plane as the other turtles fight in the back. So the plane is literally falling apart as it plummets down. The tank tears the back half of the plane and Bebop and Rocksteady fly out. Rocksteady's still in the tank. The plane crash lands in the river. Bebop and Donnie... So everybody's like in the river now. The plane is completely destroyed. All the turtles, Bebop and Rocksteady, they're all just like floating in these like raging rapids. Bebop and Donnie swim in the raging river to grab the teleporter. But the turtles keep getting in each other's way, interfering themselves. So whenever like Donnie grabs it, Mikey will come from behind and say like, I got it. And they keep just fumbling it. Then suddenly... in one of the coolest scenes of the movie, it makes absolutely no sense, but it looks so cool. The tank pops out of the water and just shoots a freaking shell at the turtles. Bebop grabs the teleporter and lands on the tank as the tank reaches some land. The turtles fall over a huge waterfall and then lose the teleporter. Dude, that was so cool. It felt like the avalanche scene from the previous movie. I really like this. Back to Megan Fox and Arrow, and Arrow steals FBI lady's phone so Megan Fox can make her call. Megan Fox calls Vern, who is inflating bags of air to sell on eBay. That was kind of pointless. Megan Fox wants Vern to break into Baxter's lab and find the real footage of what happened. She tells Vern he needs to be the real hero the city thinks he is. Man, stop guilting this guy, man. Keep, like, manipulating him. Vern goes to see TCRI and he bullies the security guard into getting him a coffee. The guard leaves and we get a pretty funny scene as Vern rips a cord on a wall to find the hidden camera, which he eventually does find. It's silly, but it's pretty funny because after all, this is Will Arnett and he can turn crap into gold. The turtles are back on a plane to New York and are blaming each other for losing the teleporter.
Standing on the sidelines makes you some kind of hero.
You can't just push past me like that, bro.
You were being a nitwit. You were going to lose
it.
That
thing.
I had it right in my hand and you acted like it wasn't even there.
It is not my job to make your presence known, all right? Get out of your head and communicate.
Well, what do you expect? He's all logic, no skills.
Well, coming from the guy who was all instinct, no restraint.
Dude, what do you know about anything? You're all heart and no brains.
How could you? You may know a lot about strategy, but you know nothing about feelings.
Fair enough. You want to know the one thing I am feeling? We may be brothers, but we are not a team.
So we're back with Baxter, and he has activated the teleporter now that he has all three parts. Vern goes to the police to talk to FBI lady, and he shows her the real footage of the Baxter Slab incident, and Megan Fox and Arrow are let free. At that moment, a giant portal opens up over Manhattan. The turtles are back in their lair, and they feel an earthquake. They realize they need to work together to stop Shredder. The portal gets bigger and giant pieces of machinery start appearing. And they look like enormous Tetris pieces, and they are forming the Technodrome. We find out all this through Donnie's magic Iron Man hologram computers. Like, he's all like, oh, it's a battle machine called the Technodrome, and it's piloted by Commander Krang, and he knows everything. It's all there. It's on Google. It's all on Wikipedia. Just look it up. Donnie figures out that the atmosphere in the Technodrome is toxic to humans, but not to mutants, so they are the only ones who can stop it. They know they can't go out in the daytime without being seen, so they have to decide whether to drink the ooze and become human. But wait, wouldn't that mean they would die from the toxic atmosphere? I think Donnie mentioned something about they would still be mutants on the inside, but on the outside they would look human. So whatever, answering my own question. I look like a dummy for even saying that. Raph grabs the ooze and throws it against the wall, smashing it. So I guess that's that. And it really is. It's never, like, mentioned again, so that whole plot point was pointless. The Turtles meet FBI lady and the cops and tell them that they are the only chance for the city.
What are you?
Not really into labels.
Some call us freaks. Monsters.
Let's just say we're four brothers from New York who hate bullies and love this city.
And right now, we're the city's best hope.
Sorry, Leo, but a guy trying to destroy the city, I think, is a little bit more than a bully. FBI lady is convinced when Vern tells her the truth about the Turtles beating Shredder in the first movie. The police and the Turtles make a plan. The Turtles will go up to the ship and stop Krang, and the cops have to stop Shredder below. Baxter made Shredder this special armor to survive the toxic atmosphere of the Technodrome, but Shredder betrays Baxter. He has the foot soldiers take him away to Tokyo, and he is never seen again. Shredder puts on his helmet for the first time in the movie, and it looks okay. He doesn't look ridiculous like the Megatron armor from the first movie, but he looks just like a leather biker version, so it's not really that impressive. It's just like a black leather suit. It doesn't really have spikes in it. I mean, the helmet looks cool, I guess, but I really prefer the look from like the classic 1990s Shredder. That one was pretty cool. Shredder teleports to the Technodrome, and the Turtles figure out that there's a beacon that's drawing the Tetris pieces to form the Technodrome, and they have to find that beacon and get rid of it. Megan Fox, Arrow, and Vern go to the TCRI tower. Shredder meets Krang, and I still can't get over how great Krang looks. He just really looks amazing. Krang betrays Shredder by freezing him and putting him away in some storage level of the Technodrome.
Commander Krang.
There you are, Shredder. I thought you'd never get here.
As you ask, the beacon has been set. And once the Technodrome reassembles, we can rule the planet.
I'm sorry. We will rule.
We were a team.
We were a team. Teams are for the weak. Family is for the scared. The Earth is my toy, and I do not like to share.
You betrayed me.
Actually, I barely even thought about you. Back in the toy chest with the rest of the things I've broken.
Apparently, Krang just has like an attic full of like these frozen like beans, and I thought it was gonna be a little bit more cool, kind of like Guardians of the Galaxy when they go to the collector and you see like Howard the Duck and all these things there. You don't really get to see much because the scene is really quick. There's a quick shot of one of those Triceratop aliens. I forgot their name at the moment. Triceratons, I believe. And of the Fugitoid robot. It might be them. It might not be. I'm not sure. I guess it is, but it's too quick to tell. I thought that should have been like a cool place to see all these Easter eggs, like maybe a frozen gecko or a Mondo gecko or like Leatherhead the alligator or Slash the Turtle or like, oh, I don't know, like some weird cool aliens or something. All right, so the Turtles get to the Technodrome by jumping on the Tetris pieces. Arrow, Megan Fox, and Vern get in a crash trying to get into the building that should have killed them. But does nothing to them, yet all the cops they had for backup never come out of their cars after the crash. Bebop and Rocksteady arrive in these pretty sweet motorcycles, actually. I guess they were, like, custom made, I read. And they actually look pretty badass. They're, I don't know if they're four-wheelers or if they're three-wheelers. I believe they're three-wheelers because Bebop and Rocksteady are huge. But I would have loved to buy toys of those. They look pretty cool. Bebop and Rocksteady arrive. And Arrow says that he's going to take care of them. And Vern and Megan Fox will go stop Karai and the portal. Arrow shows himself and starts getting chased by Bebop and Rocksteady. The turtles see the Krang robot, but it's not activated. It's just like the robot rises up and it's just standing there in the middle.
It's not that bad. It's just a dumb robot.
Huh. That I was expecting way worse.
And what would that look like?
I don't know. Like a mustache, maybe? Evil goatee or something? You know what I'm saying? It's like a chewed up piece of gum with a face!
I'll only warn you once. Get off my ship!
We then get a cool fight with Krang and the turtles. Like, I really like how it looks. Bebop and Rocksteady corner Arrow in a car lot as Megan Fox and Vern take out a foot soldier to head to Karai. Donnie reaches a computer module to find the beacon as the other turtles fight Krang to hold him off. And I mentioned visually, this is a very cool fight. The Krang looks amazing. I really, really like, he's probably one of my favorite CG creations they've done. Because I usually always say like, oh no, they should have done something more practical effects. It should have been something like a stop motion puppet or something. Not stop motion, but you know, something like that. But no, the CGI here looks really, really good. Arrow is getting cars thrown at him, like literally. They're picking up cars and throwing them at him. And he gets thrown almost through a car. Like, I think Bebop punches him. And he flies so hard, he literally, dents a van. Like, really hard. That, like, it should have just killed him right there and then. Arrow finds an old office chair and he somehow makes skates out of it. Like, he breaks off the wheels and he pulls off like tape from the chair that's holding like the cushion together, and he wraps it around his foot and makes inline skates out of it. The Technodrome forms its giant eyeball at the top and it starts charging its laser cannon. Donnie finds the beacon and it's like right at the very top, so Mikey gets on his flying skateboard and grabs it. We get my favorite visual of the movie as Rocksteady chases after Arrow while charging like an actual rhinoceros and tossing cars to the side. It looks so damn cool. Arrow tricks Bebop and Rocksteady into running inside a cargo crate. He then throws a grenade inside with them and it explodes. But they don't die as we hear them talk afterwards, and this is the last we see of them in the movie. Krang grabs Mikey and gives him a bear hug, almost killing him, when the other turtles rip the head off his body and Donnie hits the killing blow with his electric bow staff. So the body falls, but we see Krang inside of his robot body still laughing, so he's not dead. Megan Fox and Vern fight Karai, with Megan Fox knocking out this trained ninja. Remember, she's the second in command of the Foot, Shredder's daughter. She gets knocked out by Megan Fox hitting her in the head with a laptop. Donnie hooks the beacon to that drone that he has glued to his back, and he sends it flying through the portal in the sky so the Tetris pieces follow the beacon through the portal. Donnie tells Arrow to close the portal and the city is saved. We get April giving a news report on what happened.
Escape convicts Bebop and Rocksteady are now in police custody while Dr. Baxter Stockman remains at large. Authorities assure us that the city is once again safe. However, questions remain about last week's events. What was that threat from the sky, and how exactly was it averted? But the bigger question is, does it even matter? Do we need to give our heroes a name and a face? Or is it enough to know that they're out there watching over us from the shadows?
FBI lady and the NYPD hold a ceremony for the turtles at the Statue of Liberty, where they are given the keys to the city. Arrow and Megan Fox officially hook up by making out. FBI lady says that she can help the turtles live a normal life, but the turtles have learned to accept themselves, and they celebrate on top of the Statue of Liberty. The end. In my opinion, this was a very enjoyable movie, especially if you're a fan of the cartoon, as it feels like an episode of the old show in visuals and story. My big gripes are Casey Jones and April O'Neil, as the actors portraying them are just really awful. Now, I'm not sure if that's just the direction they're given or if they're just not really good actors, but I did not like Casey Jones in this movie, and Megan Fox was... She wasn't as bad as the first movie. I give her a pass in this movie. She's somewhat likable because she's not the main star, and Casey Jones is so much worse than her. You kind of forgive her. Those are probably my only big gripes with it. People complained about the movie being dumb when it came out, and that's why they didn't like it. And to those people, I say, go back and watch the cartoons. They weren't like some fantastic piece of art. They're pretty awful if you go back and see them. And the visuals are very striking, very well done. Some of the best use of computer animated graphics we've seen in a movie. I think it's a really very bright, pretty movie. So I give it that, because most movies nowadays are all blue or they're all green. They're all really dark. They all want to be gritty. This movie embraced its goofiness and it went colorful, like I believe some of these movies should. It went colorful, it went goofy, it went fun. And that's what I liked about it. It was fun. And ladies and gentlemen, that concludes Turtles Month. As a big fan of the Ninja Turtles, I wanted to do this for a long time, but I was not going to dedicate a podcast to just Turtles. So I took the opportunity on this Batman podcast to do a Turtles Month, as I'm doing Gotham Goes Hollywood. Thank you all for indulging me and listening, even though I know you wanted to listen to Batman talk. Well, next week I return to the normal format as we review Batman the Animated Series again, where we left off. Episode 65, titled Paging the Crime Doctor. It's going to be a good one, I promise. Until then, I just want to say...
Cowabunga!
Heroes in a half shell, turtle power.